people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. About a year ago, when I was a deacon, I got to do my very first baptism at this parish, my second baptism ever. And it was beautiful, just a lovely small family, had a beautiful little girl. Baptism was going fine, everything was great. Got the part of actually baptizing a child. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. And I got nervous, I was going to forget the words, and of the Holy Spirit, I guess. I turned to look the book, make sure I was doing it right, and my arm tilted. And water got up her nose completely, and she was not happy. The parents were very gracious, but she was validly baptized, very validly baptized. The baptism of immersion, of dunking the child in the water, is an option, or you can just put it in the crown of her head. But actually, the immersion of getting dunked in the water, waterboarded in a way, is actually a better symbol. Both completely valid baptisms, but it helps us to see what really happens in baptism, of that immersion. Because baptism is the adoption process of becoming a child of God the Father. It might rub people the wrong way, but actually one is not a child of God until they're baptized. That is not a patch on our shoulder or anything to brag about at all. But until one is baptized, one is a beloved creature of God. Humans are made in the image of God, absolutely, but they don't necessarily act like God. They're a different species. You can't be a child and us do the same nature. Until we're baptized, we're a different kind of being. Until baptism, we're a beloved creature of God, and we have the same relationship with God as Adam and Eve did. Good, made in God's image, but not yet a son or daughter. And the adoption process of baptism is one goes in the waters, and it's a dying. It's a drowning in the waters of baptism and as one submerges underwater. And as one's underwater, the old self dies. And as one comes out of the water, the new self rises. And it's not just a new self. The windows of our church, the lower level is supposed to be the waters the Holy Spirit hovered above. That as one goes under the waters, one is being immersed, submerged, drowned in the Holy Spirit. So much so that when one rises from that, we are made one in Christ. The windows above the ceiling are supposed to be the fires of the Holy Spirit coming down on Pentecost. It's the Holy Spirit we're being immersed in. We're being drowned in fire, and we're being fused with the person of Jesus Christ. So much so, when we come out of waters, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We have become one with Jesus in baptism. And in baptism, by becoming one with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, we hear the same words that Jesus hears today in our gospel. At Jesus' baptism, the Father breaks open the heavens and says to his Son, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. And as we are made one with Jesus Christ, we hear the same words. Because there's no difference, no separation from Christ and myself. The adoption God the Father wants to have with each one of us is more radical than we realize often. Yes, we're welcome to the family. Yes, we have a place in the home. When God the Father makes us his son, makes us his daughter in baptism, we have the same kind of relationship that Jesus Christ has with his Father. It's elevated beyond the relationship of Adam and Eve. It's now the kind of filial relationship Jesus has with the Father, that we can call on God as Father the same way Jesus calls on God as Father. It is a radical kind of father-son, father-daughter relationship. And when that happens, that is our most core identity of who we are. A few years ago in seminary, we hosted a retreat for all the athletes on campus, the college athletes. And my friend, Father Jacob, was the MC for the event. And every time he introduced a person, he'd say, "Coming up next is Douglas. He's a beloved son of God, a lacrosse player from such and such." Then introduce the next player. "Coming next is Shai. She's a beloved daughter of God. She's a soccer player, and she's also from this area." That the first thing they had to know about this person, that they were a beloved child of God. That is who we are at our core. And it's nothing we did to earn it, and there's nothing we can do to change that. Because the Father says in the gospel, "You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased." The Father is not extra pleased in our looks, our appearance, our achievements, our works, our who we know. He's not extra pleased in any of that. He is pleased with you, with just who you are, just the fact that the Father says, "You're mine." Just like any parent, there's nothing extra that makes us pleased with our kids. It's just the fact that they're my kid. That is the core of our identity. But just like the kid in the baptism, sometimes the waters of adoption are a little scary. There's a dying to self. The fires of the Holy Spirit might be daunting. One last image of the Holy Spirit. When the dove came down and descended upon Christ, maybe he hovered and floated gently upon Christ's shoulder. But maybe the Spirit dive-bombed, like a falcon that just dive-bombs on its prey. Maybe the Spirit went to Christ's shoulder quickly. And just like those falconry things you see of the falcons coming to go on the arm of their person's owner, what if when we have the Holy Spirit coming to us, claiming us as the Son of God, I think sometimes we're tempted to flinch. Sometimes the Spirit comes, and instead of Jesus' security, of just knowing, "Yes, I am the Father's Son," when we hear that we're called to enter into that beloved sonship, beloved daughterhood, we flinch. And maybe we flinch because I know that's going to call for me to die to myself and be done with my old habits, my old sins, my old attachments. And I don't know if I'm ready for that. And we flinch at that. Or maybe it's just, you're telling me I'm called to be beloved daughter, beloved son. I don't know if I can actually trust that. And we hear the Father say, "You're my beloved child." And we flinch. Not sure we can trust him. The Lord is good. And he has made us a son and daughter. And yes, that means we have to do away with our sins, our old attachments, our old self. But we have to be secure in our identity. The Father has claimed us as his son and daughter. We have to be secure enough that when the Father loves us enough adamantly to call us his son, his daughter, again and again and again, we can't flinch. We have to be secure enough to say and claim that, "Yes, Lord, I believe and I trust and I claim that I'm your beloved daughter, your beloved son." Last thing, every time we come into Holy Mass, every time we come into any Catholic church, or even your own homes, we come in by signing ourselves with the sign of the cross, by marking ourselves with holy water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Every time we do that and mark ourselves with holy water, it's another submersion, another drowning to self. It's telling God, "I will die to myself if you will have me rise with Christ." It is a claiming of one's identity as a son or daughter of God the Father. Every time we come to Mass, every time we leave Mass, we're coming to come to church or leave church. Or if you want, we have holy water in the back. Every time you come and leave your home, you can do that too. You're claiming your identity as his, as a son or daughter of God the Father, which we don't flinch from.